God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. We're going to take a look at happiness of a man tonight. Dig into that more. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Yeah, don't be a pushover again. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Appreciate you being with me here. Got some fast casts available to share with you. Also, wanted to let you know for this half hour, I've got something I'd like to share with you from, a voice from yesteryear. Looking forward to sharing that with you simply because, there's so much truth in it. And it seemed at the time when it was first released that, maybe this was just a little bit over the top. But now that we're here in 2022, oh my, is it so very true. Tonight, again, I'd like to just take some time to go over happiness of a man. Some of you might be wondering, what in the world is that? Well, friends, a worldview is so utterly important. And I just would like to make sure that we, hopefully have the biblical worldview, but there's many who chase after the happiness for themselves. Now, the purpose for a Christian is actually to live for the glory of God. In fact, today, in church, we sang something that had a lot of alleluias in it, hosannas in it, words we don't say or share much today. But our lives, not just our words, not just our singing, should glorify God. But friends, to be quite blunt, that's not the only belief and philosophy system that's out there. Let's dig into, something called humanism just a bit tonight. Basically, in a nutshell, humanism is the end of all being, is the happiness of man. When most think of us, or most of us, I should say, think of humanism, we think of secular humanism, and such mindsets often come from the form of atheism, agnosticism, even evolution. It's called secular humanism because it is the philosophy of all things serve the purpose to make man happy, but without any religious affiliation at all. Again, humanism is basically the philosophy that all things serve the purpose to make man happy. Does that mean there's a thing called religious humanism? Yeah, it does, but very few think about it that way. I'll share with you some thoughts on that later on, not necessarily tonight, just later on. Friends, humanism is ultimately the deification of humans. It's ultimately the deification of what we call mankind, humankind. That humans are the ultimate realization of why things exist and for why things happen. This is the idea that everything that happens and exists is for the purpose of pleasing man, for the benefit of man. Again, humans. The issue with this, the problem, is that who gets to determine what is pleasing and what isn't pleasing? Some suggest there's a universal standard that everyone, quote-unquote, knows. That people supposedly know what is good or bad, but friends without an external objective standard, such as Scripture. And I'm dead serious when I ask this question. How can they know this? How can anyone know what is good or bad without an external standard? Again, such as Scripture. If what is good for you, and you think it's good for me, but it really isn't, well, is that really good? Friends, the early humanists understood this problem, so they answered it with something called relativism. That standards of truth are not concrete, that each person can determine what is best for them to do. Friends, it's easy to see this philosophy, well, in phrases such as, if it feels good, do it. Or if it is wrong for you, what does not make it wrong for me? Or if it's right for you, does it not make it right for you or for me? Friends, the mentality of these people was that of rebellion against authority, particularly God's authority. As a Christian, friends, the theme of Judges actually comes to my mind quite quickly. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. All one needs to do is skim through Judges to see that this phrase is repeated numerous times, over and over and over. Now, friends, with that said, I want to encourage you to take a look at a resource that came out from Worldview Warriors that, well, it was released. Oh, good grief. When was it released? 2020. May of 2020. It's titled God is Good, Reflections on the Book of Judges. There's a cycle in the Book of Judges that goes over and over and over. You ever feel like your life's a cycle of turning away from God, messing up, pleading for God for your rescue? And then turning back to him. Friends, God's chosen people experience the same cycle many times throughout the book of Judges. I do encourage you, read through the book of Judges first and foremost. Reflections on the book of Judges, God is Good, written by Katie Erickson, can be found at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And just want to remind you also regarding the book of Judges as far as, well, people doing what's good in their own eyes. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. And friends, it seems as if in the days we're finding ourselves in, that's what people are wanting. And we actually see that over and over and over again. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. That phrase is stated over so many times. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord, their God, and served the Baals and the Asherahs. We see that in Judges 3, 7, Judges 3, 12. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. God is God, and we are not God. If relativism is true, friends, each person can do whatever he or she feels like doing. I want to share that one more time. If relativism is true, then each person can do whatever he or she feels like doing. Friends, I just encourage you to really consider this. I mean, it's so into our society, and, well, it seems as if many of us today seem to want to ignore it. Years ago, there was this fad called knockout. The idea was, well, basically people would go around walk up to a complete stranger and with one punch try to knock them out. Again, that was about 8 years ago, I believe. The idea at the time went viral because of the thrill and the pleasure of succeeding. Was it really pleasurable, though? I mean, for the thug, it was for the moment. I mean, for the victim, it was not pleasurable at all. But under relativism, by what basis could we call this wrong? Proverbs 4:12 states, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And this leads to a question. If sin is so bad, if the end result is destruction, why do people sin? Why do they relish it and enjoy it? Well, I'll dig into the answer when we come back. My friends, this is Do Not Keep Silent. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. I shared with you at the beginning of this half hour that I would play for you something that was shared many, many years ago that at the time, for some, they just claimed it was over the top and they ignored the slippery slope, if you will. The reality that the slippery slope is actually, well, something that's real. It's from Paul Harvey. It's titled, "If I Were the Devil." And this is Do Not Keep Silent.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray, after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Again, that's from yesteryear with Paul Harvey. If I were the devil, This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
Have you ever been so busy that you don't know which way is up or down? Have you ever been so busy for the kingdom of God that you are actually not doing much earthly good? You're busy running church or school activities or trying to do your homework in order to please your teachers and family with good grades. Or maybe you're just busy trying to get into that perfect college or busy with your job. Now, don't get me wrong. Being busy isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can, however, divert our focus away from God and His desires for your life. Dig more into this by my blog post, which is titled, God's Will or My Dream.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dezurek.
It seems many people these days just want change for change's sake. But something a lot of people who think like that don't seem to realize is that if you get rid of something, something else is going to take its place, even if you don't like it. So be careful what you wish for. Unfortunately, we see many people wanting to come up with, well, new and fresh ideas that really aren't that new and fresh at all. Many times they're just recycled thought put into a different, more palatable package in order to make us think that it's something new and fresh. But it is not, because there's nothing new under the sun. Friends, Ecclesiastes 1:9 warns us of this way of thinking. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. It's found in Ecclesiastes 1:9.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I appreciate you being with me here for the program. Again, been taking a look tonight at the happiness of man, relativism, is it really true or not? Taking a look at, well, atheism, humanism. Friends, Proverbs 14:12 tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And this leads to a question. If sin is so bad, if the end result is destruction, why do people sin? Why do they relish it and enjoy it? Well, the answer is very simple. Sin is fun. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We do enjoy it. Sin loves the smell of sin and the smell of death. Sin hates that which gives life because it exposes what it really is. Jeremiah says the heart is wicked and deceitful. Seems so many have forgotten this today. That's found in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Again, it seems so many of us have forgotten this. Humanism is the practice of putting these sinful, wicked, deceitful emotions on the highest pedestal and in all we do. All that happens is to feed and serve this wicked, evil, sinful heart that we have. And the only hope to escape the grasp of this monster known as sin. It's by the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many humanists claim that they are shaking off the chains of religion and are now free to do whatever they want. Well, in reality, they have not shaken off chains at all. They've simply exchanged what they think are chains for much heavier ones. When one rejects the truth and exchanges it for a lie, really they imprison themselves to that lie. They think they have the freedom to do what they want, but they enslave themselves to that want. In fact, they cannot escape it. And if you're tuning in tonight and you've struggled with some of these, you know what I'm saying is the truth. Think about this. Alcoholics, drug addicts, smokers, porn addicts, thieves, thugs, yes, even murderers. They start it and it's just pleasure. Then they try to stop and they can't. Some want to stop, and that might be you. Then turn to Jesus and his ways. Put his ways into action. Some of you out there, you don't want to stop. I get it. Those who don't, well, these people love what they do so much. And they really don't want to stop because of the high that they get from the pleasure. They thought religion prevented them from doing what they wanted to do, and instead they are imprisoned by that very desire, so that is all they're able to do. We see the results of this in Numbers 11, when the Israelites complained for quail, and God gave them more than they could handle. Again, I encourage you to go read it for yourself. Numbers 11. We also see this revealed in Romans 1, where it states that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the only freedom-giving standard for a much stricter imprisoning standard, and they think they are now free. They truly believe they are free. Now, friends, I want to make it clear that pleasure in and of itself is not inherently evil. God gave us pleasure. He did. The issue is what is the source of the pleasure. And, friends, if we are worshiping that pleasure, that's the issue. And, friends, pleasure, like many other things, can be used and even abused. Sin is a corrupting agent that can only cause decay. It will make us think what is pleasurable is good. But friends, such pleasure, it can never satisfy. Drug addicts cannot get satisfaction with what they have, so they try to get the stronger stuff. Porn addicts don't, well, simply, photos aren't enough anymore. They have to go to more and more and more. Why? Because once we got pleasure from that, it becomes commonplace and it just doesn't do what we liked it to do anymore. That's in sin. Friends, the only satisfying pleasure that will not wear out is an intimate relationship with Almighty God. Friends, I'd like to just share that one more time. The only satisfying pleasure that will not wear out is an intimate relationship with Almighty God. That, friends, is what will last. An intimate relationship with Almighty God. I encourage you to turn your life to him today. Read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, friends, if you don't have a Bible, then you know what? Connect with us at worldviewwarriors.org. We'll get you one. I'm guessing most of you tuning into this, you at least know where you can find a Bible. Fact of the matter is, you can at least find one. Well, on your mobile device, on your computer, BibleGateway.com. I would encourage you to take some time and start reading in the book of John to start off with. Get to know the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ. Read about him. Learn about him, what he's done for you. I encourage you to do that today. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. Humanism, friends, it's a false philosophy, but it does love to tickle ears. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. And as I get out of here, I do want to encourage you to, well, go take a look at Charlie Wilcott's blog post titled The Happiness of Man. You can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. Don't be a pushover, friends. And this is Do Not Keep Silent.
In Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.